And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, one of the greatest thrills of my life was when I discovered the power of Bible prophecy. And there's so many books in the Bible. Really, from Genesis to Revelation, there is prophecy. And it has never once failed. I don't know how, I would take Christianity without prophecy. After all, the Old Testament prophesied over 300 times about the coming of the Messiah. And it certainly was accurate. Jesus Christ came exactly upon schedule. And he was described in the Old Testament. If the Jews of that period of Israel 2,000 years ago had understood their own scriptures, their prophetic scriptures, they would have known who Jesus was. This is the meaning for us today, dear friends. If we divine, and I say divine, that means understand exactly, and you're given inspiration from God, that is instruction from the Holy Spirit, about the future, then you have no fear of what's going on in the world about you. You have an understanding. And I think that people that can go the first chapter of Genesis and see how God created the earth and all the heavens and the sun and the moon. And he went from there, and you discover in the book of Revelation, he is the Alpha, the beginning, but also Omega. Then everything falls into place. You also discover something quite fascinating, that God already foreknew you. He knew everything about you before you were born, before your mother and father and grandfather and so on ever came into existence. God already had you in mind. Isn't that an astonishing thing? You see, there is no time with God. We think of time in the matter of, earth measurement, because we have a sun and a moon, and, we have 24 hours in a day and 60 minutes and on and on and on. But God doesn't have that. He's not on a planet as such. He's not limited as we are. And our old bodies, we have a clock inside us. God put a clock in each of us. I remember, I'm not so good at it anymore, but when I was a young man, I didn't need an alarm clock. I would say, okay, I'm going to wake up at 7:30 tomorrow morning. I would just tell myself that. And you know what? Generally, I did wake up at 7:30 in the morning. Oh, every once in a while, it might be a little bit late. My clock was a little off. Or maybe I was just lazy that day. I don't know what, getting up late. Sometimes I got up a little earlier. But it's amazing how you can set your own clock. And, of course, if you're in different areas of the world, they say because, up in Alaska, night lasts for 6 months or something like that. I guess you get your circadian rhythms, or whatever they call them. I could get a little mixed up. And everything is related here on earth to the tides. The moon has the tides in our bodies. And they say young women who work together, before long, they're, menstrual periods sort of conspire together and happen at the same time. That's astonishing. How do they know that? Something in your body. There are systems within systems within systems. And that's the way God is. We can't understand it all. Someday we will understand a lot more. Now, prophecy is like that. Did you know it says in the Bible that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world? From the time the world was created, from the very foundation, he was already slain. And I know some of you that are more literal, you say, now wait just a minute, Tex. It happened, around 2,000 years ago. Some of you, I get letters all the time and people write to me and say, I figured out exactly when Jesus came. It was not in the month of December. It was in the month of such and such. Or you'll tell me, now Jesus, it was April the such and such when he was crucified. And people can have a lot of fun and a lot of enjoyment and blessings from studying those things. But I never have got too much into the chronology and the times. Even Jesus says no man knows the day nor the season when he's going to come again. But we know the season. And we can, know the imminency of his coming. He gives us signs of his coming. But when somebody says, oh, it's going to be April the 24th, exactly 9:07 p.m., Jesus will come. I know they're fakers. And that's why I know these Mayan, first of all, you're going to trust the Mayan serpent god? The prophecies of those who worship the great serpent who comes up out of the sea, the Mayans, the Aztecs, the Incas. Oh yeah, December 21st, 2012, the world will end. So said those who worshiped the great serpent god. Well, I don't worship the serpent god. I know who the serpent is, and I don't intend to worship Satan, the great dragon and serpent. How about you, friends? I'm not interested in what the Mayans said. Those who sacrificed human beings at the top of their sun pyramids, cut out their hearts. Horrible beast monsters who worshiped a terrible bloody religion. And I'm going to put credence in what they have to say? Are you kidding me? I laugh. And I suspect God does too, except it's very tragic at the same time. So you're going to see in the next few months, people are going to get so worried. What if it really is going to happen? December 21st. Yeah, well, okay. All right. Don't plan on it, folks. But I'll tell you what, if you really believe it's going to happen, understand big time movie director George Lucas, I think, said he believes it. The world's going to end. Well, I'll tell you what, George. I'll pay you $100 for all of the property. He's a multi-million, a billionaire, I understand. Sign over all your property to me that it will be mine in this ministry. I think I can use it for God's purposes. And it will revert to me on December 22nd. It won't matter. You'll be gone. The whole world will be gone, won't it? Come on, George Lucas, famous Hollywood movie director. If you so believe in it, then don't worry about what you have left over. Give it away before the end comes. Help the poor people of the world today. He's probably a liberal anyway that believes the government ought to be a nanny state and provide for everybody. So why didn't he just take from his billions in the banks and give it away right now to the poor? Let them live a little bit and have fun and drink and be merry and whatever, they're led to do by the devil. Maybe some of them be led by God to do good things with his money. I would. I'd be glad to do good things with George Lucas's money. Anybody that believes the world's going to end December 21st, sign over your property. Send the titles and such to Tex Morris at Power of Prophecy. I won't take a cent for myself, but I'll use it for the good of mankind. I might print a bunch of Bibles out and give it to them. I might print a little book up and say, on December 22nd, look inside this book, the Bible. Find out the truth about prophecy. Well, today I want to talk to you a little bit about prophecy, because it is true. The things that will happen. And I want to propose to you something that might shock you a little bit, but the Bible talks about creatures. Strange, animalistic creatures. They're symbols. One of them is the serpent. Another is the dragon. And the third is the eagle, or the great black bird. Isn't that interesting that the Bible actually talks about a serpent, a dragon, an eagle? And these represent concrete, real things. Now you may say, why does God use symbols in the book of Revelation, in the book of Daniel? Why? Well, he wants to. I'll tell you why I think there's one reason. I could be wrong about this. I don't fully understand God's mind. I wish I'd understand more, and I pray so often that God will give me greater wisdom. I think it's to confound those who have rebelled against him. They're in a state of confusion and chaos because they reject the true God of this universe. And they have mixed up minds, and they're confused, and they really have no understanding. The book of Daniel says, the wise shall understand, but the wicked shall not. Now, you're not wise because you were born with a gigantic IQ. You're wise if God gives you understanding. All the prophets of the Old Testament, we're not told at all of how smart they were in terms of man's intelligence. We don't necessarily know whether they had the equivalent of university degrees. We know the Apostle Paul was very a learned man. Jesus wasn't. Paul far outdid Jesus in terms of manly education. But in terms of wisdom, well, there was a great disparity between Jesus and every man who's ever lived. The Bible talks about some who are very wise. Daniel, for example, was wise. Jeremiah had to be wise because God gave him understanding of certain prophetic events, but he was so hated, despised, and criticized by his own countrymen that the king of Israel threw him in prison, called him a traitor, said none of his prophecies would come true. How'd that make you feel? Being in prison, being beaten, tortured, being laughed at, scorned. Jesus on the cross, some scorned him, they laughed at him. You saved others, why can't you save yourself? They laughed at him. Well, do you have understanding, dear friends? I hope you will gather it up and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in what I have to tell you today. Because I want to talk about the great serpent, the red dragon, the soaring war eagle. And I want to talk to you about the nations that and peoples that those symbols represent. And I believe it has great meaning for today. I'm not going to tell you that I know when the world's going to end. But it sure seems like it's gathering speed. It's gathering momentum. It's escalating every day. And I don't think we have but a short time left. Could it happen tomorrow? No. Will it happen next year? Perhaps. But I think we're several years away. Again, that's my calculations. You know, God didn't consult me in the matter. I don't think he's ever going to consult me. But I consult him a lot because I read his book. And it gives me an understanding that I could not possibly have on my own with my puny little mind. And yes, I have different college degrees and have taught at three different universities. And I don't know what that makes me, except maybe a little bit past the Neanderthal level. And that's about it. Compared to God, that's a big nothing. I have the same intelligence of a giraffe, maybe, or a hippopotamus compared to God. Now I want to talk about these three great creatures, symbolic creatures. You can read about them in such books as Daniel, in the book of Revelation, Isaiah, and others. The serpent, the dragon, the soaring eagle. I want to propose to you that they can be tied to three great nation empires that are in existence today and have been in existence for a number of years in various forms. One is Israel, the physical nation of Israel. Don't get that mixed up now with the Israel of God. Okay. Then there's China, the great Chinese empire. And there's the United States. Now, when I talk about the United States, I also go back to the great lion, which would be Great Britain. And since the United States took up the great eagle as its symbol, and it's on our $1 bill, you'll find the eagle there, is the symbol of this nation. You know, our great seal, the eagle. But if we look at the eagle, we can go all the way back to Rome. The Romans had both the eagle and the lion as their great symbols. The Assyrians also had such symbols. Hitler and the Nazis in Germany and the Germany of today have adopted the great eagle. The Habsburgs had the double-headed eagle. And even the Masonic order today has the double-headed eagle as its primary logo or symbol. And these symbols have meaning way beyond anything you and I can imagine. And did you know that even the great corporations of the world have symbols to represent them? And companies like Coca-Cola and Pepsi and General Electric and Samsung and Apple, they each have symbols. Sometimes it's an animal, sometimes it's a, could be a fruit like apple. And believe me, they have dynamic meanings. And they have, sometimes these corporations have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, even millions of dollars to creators to develop logos, symbols that represent what they want their company to stand for. Or should I say, how they would like to indoctrinate, propagandize the imagery of people's minds and affect them in such a way that they'll depart with their money to that company. Certainly the automakers give names, Mercury, Saturn. Well, those are the names of the great past pagan gods and of the planets. Then we have, you know, everywhere you turn, there's all kinds of symbols of cars. Look at the Alfa Romeo and the Chevrolet and Ford. Everyone has its own symbols. Sometimes they use animals, the Dodge truck, the great ram, and so forth. And believe me, a lot of study and money has gone into these symbols. And they're powerful for how they affect your mind, dear friends. You'd be amazed. Psychologists are given money. Madison Avenue advertising agencies and so forth. So please don't ever say symbols mean nothing. They mean everything, in a sense. The serpent, the dragon, the eagle. In these last days, these are the three great empires, I believe, that are working together to bring about the fulfillment of prophecy. Oh, every nation has its part. From Zimbabwe to Holland and Ecuador and Uruguay. They even Jamaica probably has some kind of little part. I don't know just what. The island of Fiji. You might be amazed sometime at the big part the little players have in world events in the last days. But we know that Israel and China and the United States are going to have a big part to play. Now, over the years, many have speculated that Europe and the European Union would have a great part to play. I do not think so. Others have believed that Rome itself would have a revival. There would be a rebuilt Roman Empire or a revived Roman Empire. Some say that the Pope will lead it. The Pope will be the great world dictator of the last days, or even the Antichrist. I say, probably not. And I wish I had more time than 1 hour to explain all this to you. And I have done entire programs. I had one called, Will the Antichrist Be a Jew, for example. But today I want to center in on the serpent, the dragon, and the eagle. Now, if we look at this very quickly, I propose that Israel is the serpent, China is the dragon, and the United States is the eagle. You may say, well, how can Israel be the serpent? That's the nation of God. Well, of course it should be. And the Israel of God is the nation of God. But remember, Abraham had seed. And that seed is both spiritual and physical. And even if we look at only the physical seed, we know that there was a division. Was there not? There is the seed of Isaac. But then there's also the seed of the bondwoman, the slave woman, and her son. That's also the seed of Abraham. Israel, believe it or not, has adopted the serpent as its great leader, its Messiah. You say, well, I've never heard of such a thing. I invite you to read my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. The six-pointed star, the primary symbol of Israel, actually represents the great serpent, the beast that rises up out of the sea, Revelation 13, 1. The Jewish rabbis teach in their Jewish Kabbalah, the books of the Kabbalah, the Zohar and so forth, that it is the serpent that shall rise up out of the abyss, out of the wilderness, out of the pit, and shall become the Messiah of a reborn nation of Israel in the last days. It is the serpent, pictured as the Ouroboros, the circular serpent biting his own tail, that is worshipped by the Jewish rabbis. This always is a shock to Christian evangelicals, and perhaps to every other person as well, when they discover that in the Jewish religion, Judaism, there are many gods, not just Jehovah God, not just a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, no, no. There are many gods and goddesses in the Judaic religion. And I bring this out in Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, and I quote many rabbis in so doing, including many of the ancient rabbinical sages. You'll recall that the 12 sons of Jacob in the Bible were the leaders of the 12 tribes, and that Dan was given a prophecy. And Dan was called the adder or the serpent, who you might say would hide by the waste, by the highway, on the side of the highway. And as the horseman came forth, he would strike the leg or of the horse, and the horse would throw the rider off. It said that Dan, the serpent, would bring judgment on his people. It's interesting, in the book of Revelation, it talks about a great beast rising up out of the pit in the last days, the same as the Jewish rabbis say, and his name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. That would mean Father Dan. And in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. That is a combination of Apollo, the great Greek sun god, and own the great Egyptian sun god, Apollyon. So Abaddon in the last days is the exact same thing as Apollyon, Apollo, and own. You have a combination there of the Greek religion, of the Egyptian false religion, which proceeded out of Babylon, and, of course, the false religion of Israel in the last days. You see, having rejected Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, instead the physical children of Israel adopt for their own another God. And that God is the great serpent. It always mystifies me when you really understand the true meaning of Judaism and this symbol of the serpent, how thousands, tens of thousands of Christian pastors actually believe that Judaism is just a little bit different than Christianity. It's like the Old Testament, and all they need is Jesus sort of laid on top of it. Well, friends, that's like a big bucket of something horrible, full of maggots and dirt and filth, and you put a nice icing over it. you know, maybe a vanilla icing, and go, I can't wait to dig in. I think you'll change your mind once you do. That's what Israel is. But Israel, the inside of it is not the Old Testament. The rabbis don't even study the Old Testament in their religious academies, seminaries, which they call yeshivas. They study the Talmud, which is written by the rabbis and not God. And they study the Kabbalah, which is the study of the serpent. And that's their true God, whose name, by the way, is Leviathan or Malkut and other names as well. The six-pointed star represents him and also represents the sex act of two triangle beings. Triangles represent beings too. They're symbols. The ascendant, the pointed triangle pointed up, represents the male god. The triangle pointed downward, which we would call the delta sign, represents the female or the goddess. And those two come together in the sex act, which is sort of a dirty thing when you think about it, in the way that it's taught in the Jewish religion. And the Jews actually teach that there are two serpents, a male and a female. And they come together and mate. And the progeny is the people of Israel. They are the man-child that come from the breeding of the two serpents. Oh, it's a weird, odd religion, this Judaism, believe me. Now, the serpent, then, is the symbol of Israel. We're going to get into Bible prophecy in a minute and talk about some of these symbols, and I'm going to give you some of the Bible verses where you will find these symbols. Let's go first, though, to China and discuss China for a minute. If you study the history of China, there's no doubt that the dragon is the great symbol of the empire. More than that, it's the red dragon. And the Bible has a lot to talk about, doesn't it, about the red, the color red, the scarlet colored beast, for example, in Revelation 17. Well, we know that China has become a gigantic colossus in economic, political power today. A lot of people don't think that China is at the forefront of the Illuminati and the New World Order, but indeed they are. I know my good friend Fritz Springmeier in his book, Bloodlines of the Illuminati, claims that there are 10 great families or dynasties of the Illuminati in the world today. And he says the Chinese have at least one of those dynasties. It is the Li family, L-I. They're out of Hong Kong, but also out of Shanghai and Beijing. So even during the communist era, the Illuminati continued to exist and prosper in red China. I add China, you know, the Old Testament talks about a cockatrice, another strange creature you run into in the Bible. What is a cockatrice? It's a serpent. It's a flying serpent. And it has three heads. I believe those represent China, Israel, and the United States. And it is an extremely poisonous creature. I'll never forget one night I was watching television, the news, and they were talking about how the Israelis had attacked some Palestinian targets with their helicopter gunships. And I looked at the screen, and as I looked, it had a close-up shot of the helicopter gunship of the Israelis. And there was a symbol on the side. It was a cockatrice, a three-headed serpent. That was the symbol of Israel's helicopter gunship as it strafed and killed innocent Palestinian people. We're going to return in just a minute. We'll talk more about the dragon of China. We'll also discuss the great bird. Oh, yes, the great eagle. A lot of people say the eagle is a good sign. It's a wonderful sign. Oh, yeah? Well, perhaps. Stay tuned. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. We're talking about the great serpent, the red dragon, the soaring war eagle. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars. If you have not got my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I beg that you do so. 432 pages, it's large format, about the size of three or four regular books. Many pictures and information that you're not going to find anywhere else. I believe in it you will discover the reasons why I have identified China, Israel, and the United States as the three great world empires in the last days. And yet these three are intertwined, working together. And they're fast becoming communist allies. Yes, red communist allies, even the United States, regrettably, is slowly and inexorably becoming a communist nation. Red China has been communist since 1949. And in 1948, Israel was founded as a nation once again and has become an aggressive militaristic state. It was founded by red communists from Russia and Eastern and Western Europe. It, too, was a communist nation. And the Jews actually helped to found Mao Zedong's red communist empire. And today we've had president after president during our lifetimes, and each has brought America a step, or many steps, closer to communism and the end of our Constitution. And you know that's true, friends. We're at a stage now where America operates simply when the White House, with a stroke of a pen, the president signs an executive order. The Constitution, as President George W. Bush once said, seems to be just a piece of toilet paper to our presidents. Republican, Democrat, it doesn't seem to matter, does it? Well, I want you to understand the meaning of all these things, and I believe you will understand them if you get my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Now, as big and important a book as it is, the price is only $25. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30 for Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You'll find out the meaning of these symbols, by the way, the serpent, the dragon, the eagle, in this book. It could be the most important book that I've ever written, and I beg you to get this book. Study it. If you don't agree with it, let me know. I'd like to hear from you. But I think there is much wisdom in the book, much instruction, and it will be a blessing to you. Again, the price is $25 at $5 shipping and handling. To get Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, simply phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Of course, you can go on our website, powerofprophecy.com, and that is exactly where our radio program is aired 24/7. You can order a copy of today's program for $8, add $5 shipping and handling, $13. Ask for the serpent, the dragon, and the eagle, and we'll be glad to send you a copy of this. Total of $13. So either the book, $30, or the program, $13. That would take care of all the postage, shipping, handling, and so forth. Now, our address here, if you'd like to order the book by mail or the tape of today's program, CD or tape, be sure to specify which one you want, audio tape or CD. Our address is in Austin, Texas, where Power of Prophecy, 1708, Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 is the zip code, 78733. Might want to mention again, we have all of our catalog and all of our books and video documentaries, our CDs and audio tapes on powerofprophecy.com, including Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star and a lot of other material that's absolutely free. I had a man, Jerry, complain to me the other day, and he said, you know, if you're a real Christian ministry, why don't you charge, or why do you charge for everything? Well, I don't charge for everything. You know, we have BibleHomeChurch.org. And we have free sermon every week on that, plus archive of all the past sermons. We have goodness, all kinds of videos and free articles. You can go, I mean, you could probably read your life away absolutely free on our website, including this month's newsletter, which is free on our website, and this week's radio program on our website as well, absolutely free. But on the other hand, we must pay the bills, and we've got to keep our salaries going. So, you know, I think, Jerry, our employees like to eat, and and I appreciate their having shelter. And every once in a while, they have to go see a doctor and, you know, take care of their families. And goodness gracious, people want to know why you need money. Well, goodness, I guess people would say, well, you're begging for money right now. I'm not begging for money. I'm making a statement. Of course we sell some things. And if they're not valuable for you, don't buy them. But I believe they will be. And that's why so many people do order our resources and appreciate them. And we get thousands of letters from our friends out there that appreciate what we do. Much of what we do is free. And you know, the best thing that we offer of all is something that we can't give you personally, but we point to the one who can. It is absolutely free. It's the gift of eternal salvation, the love that's offered by Jesus Christ. That, dear friends, can never be sold, but someone has paid a great price for it. That would be Jesus Christ on the cross. Now let's return to our regular program. We're looking at Bible prophecy, the most powerful thing. I mean, listen, friends. Did you know the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation? Let's just take the book of Revelation. It's so powerful that the Bible says that Jesus is literally the spirit of prophecy. That's how powerful prophecy is. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Can you imagine a pastor out there saying, oh, I don't know anything about that prophecy. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't ever teach that. Nobody can understand that. No, you know what, pastor? You cannot. You're a dummy. Because you have no understanding. You have no discernment for saying such a thing. But Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It says that in the book of Revelation. He alone can give you discernment and understanding. Then you can understand it. You can't do it on your own. But first you have to humble yourself and say, Lord, I cannot understand. Please give me understanding and wisdom. And God, in his good graces, I believe, often will do so. That's up to him, of course. Maybe he thinks you'll misuse it. Some people do misuse the truth. They abuse the truth. He's not going to give it to you. But those who have a humble and contrite spirit and heart, I believe God wants you to know. And he promises understanding in Daniel 12, verse 10. Now, we were talking about these symbols, the serpent, the dragon, the eagle. How these three great empires in the last days are working together. I believe the United States is helping China today. We have the greatest oil empire on earth. The United States, our continent, is floating on a sea of oil and gas. And yet, China is prospering in world oil markets, and the United States is not. Certainly, we have oil independence, or we could have it, but our nation's leaders have chosen to buy much of our oil and gas from the Middle East and even from Red China today. Why? Because we're building them up. We're building up Saudi Arabia. We're building up Kuwait. We're building up Israel in the Middle East. We're giving Israel all these armaments. Why? Because they're the world empire of the serpent. We're the eagle, and the eagle is helping the serpent. In fact, we're the great beast that the woman is riding. The woman is Israel. On her own, she would not have power to overcome, to conquer. But she conquers the entire earth. How? Because she has a beast that she guides. And she tells where to go and what to do. And that beast is made up, according to Revelation 17, of 10 great world powers in the last days, or 10 kings. And these 10 will be of one mind, for they will give all of their power and strength unto the beast. Again, Revelation 17. The eagle is being directed by the woman who is the serpent, and that would be Israel. Now, China is that great dragon, the great dragon nation. That is the symbol. That is the national symbol of China to this very day. Whereas our symbol is the eagle. Now, Israel has its symbol on its flag. It is the six-pointed star. But as I mentioned to you in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, you discover that it is the serpent that is the creature represented by that star. You say, how did that come about? Oh, well, the Bible has a lot to say about that. In the book of Amos, it says that the people of Israel, the Hebrews, instead of worshiping the true God, they turned to Moloch, the great serpent god of Egypt. The Egyptian pharaohs and their princesses, the queens, always wore the headdress of the great cobra serpent. And the Hebrews adopted this as their own and began to worship that serpent in many different forms and by many different names. One was Moloch. And Moloch became a god worshipped throughout the Middle East at that time. And the Hebrew people even sacrificed their own children in the fires to the great god Moloch. That's what the prophet Amos said. And it angered God that they did so. In the book of Acts chapters 5 and 6, Stephen says to the Jews, even after God rescued you from Egypt, you people of Israel, turned around and worshiped the ancient gods that you should have left behind. In other words, Moloch, also called Rimphan, Kiun, and other names. The great serpent god was worshipped. And now today, having, you know, cast out Jesus in their minds and carnal imaginations, they again, the nation of Israel, has adopted this serpent, the same as we see in the Old Testament in the book of Amos, the same as Stephen warned them about and told them of. They were so angry at Stephen, the first Christian martyr, that they took up stones and they beat him to death with those rocks and stones. They were so angry when he told them, "You men of Israel, you have even killed the just one, your own Messiah, you killed him." They were so angry, they set upon him and they literally bit chunks of his body out with their own teeth. You read in the paper here, newspapers in America recently, about these people taking these drugs, these bath salts and everything, and they become human cannibals. Their mind is ravaged with evil and with crazed things, and they literally attack people. One man ate the face off a guy, a homeless man, out on the street. He went insane. The men of Israel, the Jews, went insane and attacked Stephen and began to gnash at him with their teeth. So angry were they when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, simply told them the truth. These serpent people, you say, Tex, why do you call them the serpent people? Aren't you surmising a lot? Now I want to ask you a question, friends. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Jesus? Matthew 23:33, what did Jesus tell the Jews of his day? He said, "You serpents, you generation," that means race or nation or family, "of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" When the religious leaders of Israel, pretending they were pious and holy, went to be baptized by John the Baptist, what did he say to them? "You vipers, who has warned you that you could escape the damnation of hell?" He called them serpents, snakes, John the Baptist did. He saw past their fakery, their pretense of being holy. So did Jesus there at the great temple in Jerusalem. He knew what was in the hearts of every man. He said, "Ye serpents, vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" I believe he put in the hearts of those men that there was a way they could escape. There is a way, friend, you can escape the damnation of hell. There's a small avenue. There is a narrow way. But Jesus said, if you don't enter therein at the gate, you're not mine. And he knows his sheep. He recognizes them. You know, I had a dog that I loved very preciously a few years ago. And he got lost. And we searched all over for him. Just searched all over for him. Yes, I admit I cried. I cried over a dog that I'd lost. And you know, amazingly, I was looking through some bushes, and there was something that looked whitish. Among the green, there was a little speck of white. It was my dog. He had been lost for about 36 hours. Wasn't the first time, by the way, he was lost. The little rascal. But I never punished him for it. I always put him in my arms and loved him. Because he was just as upset as I was at being lost. And I knew right away who it was. I recognized. That's Daisy. That's my dog. And I was so happy. I was overcome with joy that I had found the one who was lost. The Bible says, Jesus said, this is how he feels. This is the way God and the angels feel when one who is lost is found. Friend, have you ever been found? Have you been lost? And someone who loved you found you? This is how you can escape the damnation of hell. The Bible has given us a way. There are three great empires in the last days, of the great serpent, the red dragon, the soaring war eagle. And all of them are conspiring in these last days to fulfill Bible prophecy. And I believe even the Christian church in America is being swallowed up by Judaism, by the Judaizers, by Zionism. Some people say, no, our great threat today is Islam. Now, folks, I don't doubt that Islam is being led by Satan. I don't doubt that at all. I'm sure it is. But that's not the religion of the last days that God warned about. He warned about the synagogue of Satan, not the mosque of Satan. There's a trash book out there called The Islamic Antichrist. Oh, it's being promoted by all these people. I understand it's the number one Christian bestseller. I don't care how many copies it sells. I don't care how many Christian radio or TV programs the author is on. It's trash. The Bible doesn't talk about an Islamic Antichrist or a Buddhist Antichrist or a Hindu Antichrist. It talks about a Jewish Antichrist. Jesus said, I come in my name, and you receive me not. Someday one will come in his own name. Him you will receive. The Jews will receive their own. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says he will go into the temple of the Jews and declare he's God. No doubt the Jews will receive him with acclamation and worship him as their Messiah. You say, oh, they wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, they would. They're already waiting for their serpent Messiah. Oh, you. Friends, when you don't believe God, you'll believe in anything. Did you hear what I just said? When you don't believe in the true God, you'll believe in any God that the devil invents, paints, portrays in your imagination. There's no doubt the church is being swallowed up, but the true church will never be swallowed up by the serpent religion of Judaism. Nor of Islam, nor of Buddhism, or any of the other isms. The true church is the one that was bought by Jesus Christ, saved by him. And he knows them. They're his sheep. They came in at the right gate. They came down the narrow way. And anybody who tries to enter any other way will be rejected. Don't think. People say to me, well, as long as I'm a good Buddhist, I can go to heaven. As long as I'm a good Hindu. As long as I'm a good person. Don't deceive yourself, dear friends. You come in the wrong way, you will not be accepted. You will be like the man who came to the great feast uninvited. And Jesus tells that parable, he didn't have the right garments, so. They're required garments of salvation you must wear at that great feast that is called up in heaven someday. If you show up without those garments, you won't be accepted. Jesus gives that parable, and the master of the house says, how did you get in here? You shouldn't be here. You don't have the garments. You're not one of the invited guests. And then he tells his, I guess you might call it his security force, the angels, cast him out into darkness. Friends, don't go to Jesus' great banquet as an uninvited guest. You will be thrown out. How do you get to be a guest? How do you get an invitation? You don't have to give a political donation. This is not some White House coffee or tea. You don't have to get on the list of the Republican National Committee or the Democratic National Committee. You better be on the list of heaven, because Jesus is making up his own list. And he knows every name. He knows what they look like. He knows how many hairs they have on their heads. He knows who you are and who you're not. Jesus knows what is in the heart of every man. If you have Jesus in your heart, you're a guest. You have the garments of salvation. He wants you. He has a place for you at the table. It's already set up for you. Can you believe that? Have you ever been to a banquet or something and they said there's a name on every, table in front of every chair, and you go around looking for your name? I have a feeling that you'll know just where to go around that table. You'll know. And the book of John tells us today, you can know right now whether or not you're invited. You can know. A lot of people say, I don't know whether I'm saved or not. Well, maybe you're not saved. John said, you can know. We know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that we are of God. You can lie about it and say, well, I don't really believe in Jesus, but I'm of God. We all have God inside us. Yeah, what's the name of your God? Lucifer? Must be. If it's not Jesus, there's only one other God. Oh, I know there are millions of names, but they're all names for the same devil. I want to go back to this eagle. And I wish I had more time. In Daniel chapter 7, it talks about four great beasts. The eagles talked about one. It says, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse, that is different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Some say that's Great Britain. The lion, the British lion, had eagle's wings. I beheld, says Daniel, till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. I wonder if that is America. The eagle, its wings were plucked, and it was made to stand upon the feet as a man. Well, we really have been standing, haven't we? I wish we had stood as an angel of the Lord, but we have been as a man. And we've been in war after war, and we have conquered and gone conquering. It goes on to talk about verse 7. It says, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. And I'm going ahead here. Dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue. That's the people who are left of God. It stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse, that is different from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns, had a great empire. 10 seats of world power. Maybe they're the 10 great nations in the last days. I consider the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. I wonder if that's Israel. Only 7.5 million people live in Israel. A small nation, about the size of what, the state of Vermont? It's a nothing in the scheme of things, or is it? Because this small nation of only 7.5 million people, about 1/4 what the state of Texas has, a small population, seems to have outsized power. Why, before an election, every candidate from the United States, a great nation power, superpower of over 300 million people, with thousands of missiles armed with nuclear bombs and huge destroyer and aircraft carrier ships and all kinds of world power, and with military forces in over 100 nations around the world. And yet Mitt Romney trots over to Israel and has to consult with the nation's leaders over there. And Obama, before he became president, put on his little skull cap. And they all go to the Wailing Wall and they consult and they pray to the Wailing Wall. They give obeisance. They give worship. They give their all of their time and attention to a small, tiny little nation, which Jesus Christ says in Matthew 23 and 24 is an abomination and has been abandoned by God for the time being. A serpent nation. But Romney went there and Obama went there. And so did Bill Clinton, and so did George Bush, and so did George Herbert Walker Bush, and all the leaders, and so did Sarah Palin, and so did Joe Biden, and they all go there. They don't go to Uruguay, they don't go to Ireland, they don't go to Ukraine, they go to Israel. The little horn. The little horn that came up and became great. Daniel says the great king in the last days, that is the Antichrist, comes to power with a small people. Not a great people, a small people. But look who he has working with him. China, over 1 billion inhabitants. America, over 300 million. This small people, this small band, seems to have control. I call them Swindler's List, the Sionim. They control America. They tell Romney what to do. Romney has his own religion, Mormonism. It doesn't believe in the true Jesus. But Mormonism is a Judaic that is a Judaism front. They believe they're the tribes of Israel. Mormonism has a pact, agreement with the Jews. It is abandoned. It never had Christianity. It's abandoned any vestiges of it. It's been swallowed up by the Jews. And Romney is one of them. But look at Obama. The Jews placed him in power. Get my video, Rothschild's Choice, and you'll understand that. Now, this fourth great power, and this beast comes up, and this horn comes up from the tin. We know it's of Israel, because Daniel also says they had a king over them. And they worship the God of forces. Boy, talk about forces. China has military forces. They might be able to put together 200 million troops. That would be significant. And the United States certainly has military forces. We're all over the world killing people to this very day. And have been for many decades. They will not worship these serpent people, the God of their fathers, said Daniel, but will instead worship the God of forces, and to him they will heap great treasures. Well, they have them today, don't they, the Jews? They're the Wall Street bankers, the London City bankers. And they're working with the dragon, and they're working with the great eagle, the serpent is. And they put together this cockatrice system. Three-headed serpent, you might say. And they're out to conquer the world and the new world order. And they're out to bring to power their own, the great one, the God of forces whom they worship is Satan. And they will worship a king who speaks dark sentences, Daniel said, and speaks like a dragon, has horns like a lamb, and his number is 666. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.